Working now?
Yep.
All right. That's why we keep him around. Amen. First Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 25, and for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth, and the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. I want to speak to you very quickly tonight, and I'll not keep you long. I'm be out of here before 9:30 or 10 at least.
Amen.
I want to talk to you tonight on a subject that I believe is very needed to understand that worship is the beginning place of missions. True worship. You know, we get mixed up on this matter of worship. We're constantly trying to decide how you do it. I'm from the South. There's no denying that. You can hear that from my accent. And so I get into some of the fellowship meetings down South Florida, like Tom's done when down in Mississippi. Of course, that's different from the South. There's the South, then there's Mississippi. Amen? But we get used to some of those, we call them heated meetings, Brother Tom. Where men will run around and some of them will jump over the pews and get excited like that. I've watched that over the years. As long as somebody's up preaching a shallow message that's not getting totally home, not getting down in the innards of that person's life, they can run around and shout all they want to. But when they get in this word and they start talking about worship and a holy, true God, things get quiet. Men begin to understand that they're standing in the presence of a holy God.
Yeah.
And so that for that reason, I believe that worship is the beginning place of missions. And with that in mind, I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read about 18 verses here, if you don't mind. I may not do it all the way, but we'll let the Lord lead me in this area. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place in which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. What are they going to do? They're going to worship. They found the beginning place of missions. There's been an obvious lack of most understanding actions among God's people. Few people know what it is, and fewer people actually practice worship today. The business of worshiping a holy God. You know, we ought to have a place in our home that's set aside just to worship God, just to go and find God fresh every day in your life. Someone has said that worship is the upspring of the heart that has known the Father as the giver, the Son as the Savior, and the Holy Spirit as the indwelling guest in your life. This is the regenerated believer who can actually spiritually intelligently worship the Father and Son through the power of the Savior. Someone has called worship worth-ship. For true worship looks at the one who's worthy to receive that worship. Amen? I want you to remember, write these three things down. Remember, there's a real distinction between prayer and praise and worship. Prayer is the occupation of the soul with its needs. That's why we come to God in prayer. We've got a need. We go to God, we present our needs, we ask God to give us our needs and match our needs. And so prayer is that occupation of the soul with its needs. Praise is the occupation of the soul with its blessings. You go to God in prayer for your needs, but you go to God in praise because He blesses you. And then worship is the occupation of the soul with God Himself. When you come to worship God, you're in His presence. We were talking last Sunday at church, and somebody was talking about meeting God. I said, when we meet God, we do what the Old Testament prophets do. We fall on our face before a holy, righteous God and realize that we are nothing in his place. So with that in mind, let's look at the meaning of worship. Look at verse 5 in Genesis 22 again. The Bible says, and Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. The meaning of worship. In order, by the way, I'm having about as tough time as Brother Smith was. I've got my glasses on, but my pulpit is up here. And that's where my glasses read. When I get any lower than that, I got to get down. I'm sort of like Jonathan Edwards, you know. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, I've got to read it close because those little words. Next time I print out my message, I'm going to have to do it in a bigger font. Amen? The meaning of worship. In order to find the meaning of worship in the Bible, it is best to find the first place in the Bible where that word is used. It's what we call the law of first mention. And that rule applies when a word or doctrine is first mentioned in the Bible. It carries that same meaning all the way through the rest of the Bible. In Genesis 22:5, we find here the first time the word worship is used. And many things are shown about worship here that will be helpful to teach us what worship is today in our lives. In Genesis 22:5, he said he would go and he would worship God. A worship is based on revelation from God. Genesis 22:1-2 says, and God said. Again, another place, and God said. Another place, and God said. And when God says, we hear from God and believe God. That's what real worship turns into, because worship is revelation from God. Faith always follows revelation. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you hear the word of God, you believe the word of God, it becomes a focus place of worship in your life. Worship is conditioned by faith in and obedience to the divine revelation of God. Look at verse 3 again in Genesis 22. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. He said, unhesitantly, Abraham obeyed God. God said, you're to take your only son and go and sacrifice him without any argument. Abraham immediately went. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. In other words, Abraham did something in response to God's word. That's where true worship comes from. That's where the matter of missions comes from. We get in this word and we get that vision that Pastor was talking about tonight. When we get that vision in our soul, we begin to understand that we're just to obey God in every direction and every mode that we get into. See, true worship must be shown in prompt, unquestioning obedience to God's word. That's the problem with us. We get working on that vision that we've just heard about and we declare, Lord, I'm not ready for that right now. Well, it might be that God's ready to give it to you right now. We need to be to the place of ready to receive the vision to move out. And then thirdly, worship will cost you something. Look at verse 2 again. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. You see, it cost Abraham the most valuable thing that Abraham had, his son. But you say that Abraham finally did not have to kill him as a sacrifice. That's not the way Abraham saw it. Because in Hebrews 11 and verse 19, he had to say this about that offering. According that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from thence also he received him in a figure. As far as Abraham was concerned, he knew that God could raise him back up, but he had realized that God had told him to take his life, and he was ready at that moment to obey God in anything it took. That's the real sacrifice in worship. And so worship costs you something. Worship is not a cheap thing. To be offered thoughtlessly with no sense of self-sacrifice. David learned that lesson and he applied that truth to God in 2 Samuel when he would not take a place to put his ancestors, did not cost him something. Real true worship costs you. You know, I believe the problem today, Brother Smith, is we don't have enough Christians that are willing to pay the price. It cost you absolutely nothing to get saved. God did all that on the cross of Calvary. But in order to serve him, you may have to pay everything to serve him. But we're not willing today to do that very thing. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, the Bible talks about worship and it's called a sacrifice of praise. We need to sacrifice our lives in order that we might praise him who should receive all praise. Worship has always involved considerable cost to the believer. In the outline of time for the spiritual preparation, in the effort of Bible study, in the loss of privilege of one's social, business, and ecclesiastical service, and to the outlay of money, Brother Lowe, you were talking about tonight. He made that sacrifice of praise. He was willing to give all he had up in order to serve God and knew that God would take care of his needs in the way. Then fourthly, worship makes us separate ourselves unto God. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. It separates us, ourselves from others, from the world, and back to God. You'll not be able to worship God unless you're willing to be sacrificed from the world. And unless you're willing to turn your back on the world. Unless you're willing to separate yourselves from the world. Just like Abraham, each Christian must say into his own house, or cares, business and affairs, lobbyists and all these other things, abide ye here, and I will go yonder with the lad and we'll worship. You know, sometimes you can't get to the place of worship because you're running with the wrong crowd. Sometimes you can't get to the place to really worship God because you've got the wrong ideas. Sometimes we put more time in TV than we do in the Word of God. And you're not going to find a place of worship that way. You've got to give your all to the Savior and say, this is what I need for him. And then worship causes us to renounce self. In our flesh, it's a daddy's instinct to protect his children. This Saturday, I'm flying out from Binghamton and flying down to Orlando, and all my grandbabies are going to be at Disney World. I'm looking forward to that. I can't imagine somebody coming up to me and say, take your grandson and take him up on a mountain and sacrifice him unto God. My first idea and instinct would be, you get away from my grandson, or you'll be the one I'll be sacrificing. Because that's what we look for. We get in the flesh and we think, this is what I need to do to protect my children. But not so with Abraham. Abraham heard God's decree and said, all right, Lord, if that's what you'd have me to do, I'll take his life and I know you can raise him up again. That's what true, real worship is all about. Worship glorifies God. Look at verse 16 in Genesis 22. Verse 16, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy child, thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You know, it doesn't take very much to obey God, because we hear him say it. We just simply need to bow our heads before God and say, yes, Lord, what thou sayest, I'll do. If we can get that in our lives, oh, listen, the praise and the glory will come before God, and he'll be able to bless our lives and use us as he did Abraham. Worship glorifies God. David learned this in Psalm 51. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. David learned that if he was willing to present praise before God, he would glorify God. And worship gives to God the place of absolute preeminence in the glorified Savior. You want to bless God tonight? You want to glorify him? You want to set him apart in your life so that you might be set apart from the world? You want to be able to praise God tonight? Then you've got to be willing to sacrifice and give all you have to a loving Savior. Lastly, worship results in blessings to the believer. Look in verse 16 again. And Abraham hearkened unto... am I in the right... I think my page turned. Verse 16, and he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And so God gave Abraham back his son. You see, Abraham was willing to do what God told him to do. He was willing to actually take his son's life. But God says, no, I'm going to give you back your son. And you know why he did that? Because God will not be any man's debtor. And so he said, Abraham, I don't need your son. I've got a son that I'll give to the world. And that son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that all might be saved. And so he gave Abraham back his son. And all who honor him will be honored. When Abraham honored God and worshiped God and brought praise to God, then Abraham was lifted up himself by God. Think how much he thought about his son who was willing to die. You see, Isaac knew something was up. He said, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham told his son, God will provide himself a lamb. Aren't you glad tonight that God provided the lamb?
Amen.
Aren't you glad tonight that he's become our lamb?
Amen.
And all we need to worship him and lift him up. And as he's lifted up, he'll lift us up. And if he lifts us up, we'll be able to lift the world up. And people will be blessed because we've learned to praise a holy and righteous God. Think how much better he thought about his son willing to die. And this is what God does for each believer. He gives back. We will find our worship to God that he will not, that we will not be able to outgive God. God will give more than we could ever give. The more we bless him, the more we work for him, the more we lay things at his feet, the more he blesses us. I look forward to being in heaven with Brother Lowe. Others of the saints of God that have gone ahead of me, I'm looking forward to seeing my daddy. I led my daddy to the Lord when he was 52 years old. 54, I preached his funeral, but he's in heaven now. Look forward to seeing him. I look forward to some of the old great preachers that I've known in the past, great men of God that are there. I'm looking forward to seeing them there, looking forward to being blessed there as they've been blessed since the time they've arrived in that sweet place. But what does it do? Worship results in bringing blessings to the worshiper. Worship is based on the revelation from God. Worship's conditioned by faith and obedience into that revelation. Worship will cost you something. Worship will separate you into God. Worship will renounce self. Worship glorifies God. And finally, worship brings blessings. Are you ready to worship God tonight? Are you ready to say, Lord, I don't have anything to give but myself, and I give myself to you. I lift you up in my life. I want nothing else to have the preeminence but you, my Lord Jesus. I've come to worship you, and if I come to worship you, then that means I get the thing right. And I can tell a world that needs Christ that they can worship him too if they'll come and trust him as Savior. Are we willing and ready to be a worshiping people, to present God first in all that we do? And God will bless us. Well, Father, simple message, not much to it. But Lord, you've taught us that the beginning place of missions is to worship God. The beginning place of reaching others is to reach out to God. The beginning place of having our lives blessed is to bless God first. And help us to remember that in our lives, and may it touch other lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Smith.
And stand. Have a verse. My wife's going to sing the invitation song, and the altar's open this time. Think about that message and the decision to be made about worship. Worshiping God. Worshiping God, it costs something, you know. Costs. Are you willing to make that sacrifice for the sacrifice that he made for you on the cross? As my wife sings, respond to God. Come to the altar, pray in your seat, and make a decision.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. And free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary the sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to alone.
Go ahead and turn your hymn books to page 450, and we'll go ahead and sing the first and the last verse of this song, and then we'll close.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is thy pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement praise for thee, O Lord.
On the third verse.
Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Brother Mike Neuberger, he's going to start a church in Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn, New York, and he's going to be preaching Wednesday night, I believe Wednesday night, and I believe his wife's going to be singing tomorrow night. Go ahead and have Brother Mike close in prayer. He's going to be in the back, and any questions you have for him, make sure you get a chance to talk to him. Brother Mike.
Amen.